It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Welcome to April. We start the month with another good jobs report. The U.S. added 431,000 jobs in March, and the unemployment rate dropped to 3.6%. The Labor Department also revised the January and February job gains up by a combined 95,000, bringing the total number of jobs added by the U.S. economy in 2022 up to 1,685,000. But the so-called news media will continue to push the false narrative that the economy is failing. Florida's governor isn't having a good day. A federal judge on Thursday ruled parts of Florida's year-old election law unconstitutional, saying that the new rules were enacted to, quote, discriminate against black voters. Judge Mark Walker said the state cannot enforce provisions limiting the use of ballot drop-box, imposing strict rules on voter registration organizations, and prohibiting some kinds of assistance to people waiting in line to vote, like giving them food or water. Florida's sad excuse for a governor, Ron DeSantis, signed the law last May as Republican legislatures around the country were changing voting laws in response to the 2020 election. Walker was the first judge to strike down any of those laws. In his 288-page ruling, Judge Walker insisted that Florida has engaged in intentional discrimination and that legislators were told, and then ignored, that their voting law would disparately hurt minorities because it was crafted in a way to stifle Democratic turnout and black voter representation. Walker said it was an ongoing pattern. Therefore, he ruled that the state must get court approval for the next 10 years anytime it wants to make changes to laws involving drop boxes, third-party voter registration groups, and regulating what's called line-warming conduct, like giving people waiting food and water. Pre-clearance. Wow, it sounds like he's revisiting Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act for Florida. That's the provision that the Supreme Court recently gutted. DeSantis called the ruling partisan and predicted it would be reversed on appeal. Stay tuned. But wait, there's more. A group of students, parents, a teacher, and the LGBTQ advocacy group Equality Florida filed a lawsuit against that same Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, and his administration over the controversial parental rights in education law that he just signed, calling it offensive and unconstitutional. While the legislation, which critics call the Don't Say Gay Bill, bars teachers in kindergarten through third grade from discussing sexual identity and orientation in the classroom. This lawsuit is the first challenge to that law. The Republicans will certainly file an appeal. President Biden officially proclaimed Thursday, March 31st, as Transgender Day of Visibility. One of the measures he announced kicks in on April 11th. That's when the State Department will become the first U.S. federal government agency to offer transgender, intersex, non-binary, and gender non-conforming people a new way to identify themselves. The X designation will be available to those applying for passports, even if it doesn't match the gender on their birth certificate. It'll be rolled out for other State Department documents in late 2023. Now, from the I really hope it's true this time file, Russian and Ukrainian officials on Thursday announced a temporary ceasefire in the devastated southern port city of Mariupol in order to let civilians out and humanitarian aid in. About 100,000 residents are believed to be trapped in the city, which was home to 450,000 people before Russia invaded the country. Both sides have accused the other of violating local ceasefires intended to let civilians leave through humanitarian corridors. The International Committee of the Red Cross is hoping that the temporary ceasefire will allow the convoy of 45 buses to reach those trapped civilians. All right, this story is a combination of good news and bad. Good news, Russian troops left the crippled Chernobyl nuclear power plant and returned control to the Ukrainians on Friday. This after Russian soldiers got significant radiation doses while digging trenches around the site. Some of the Ukrainian employees who maintain the site reported that many of the Russian soldiers who occupied the plant had no clue what Chernobyl was or that it was the site of the worst nuclear disaster in history back in 1986 and that they took no safety precautions whatsoever. The company that operates the site didn't provide details on how many Russians were exposed to contamination near the plant, which has been closed since it melted down in 1986. President Biden on Thursday ordered the release of 1 million barrels of oil per day from the nation's Strategic Petroleum Reserve over the next 6 months, 180 days, to help bring down crude oil prices driven up by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. This release is the largest since the emergency stockpile was established in the 70s. On a related note, the International Energy Agency holding an emergency meeting Friday to discuss ways to stabilize oil markets. Oil prices did drop sharply after Biden's announcement on Thursday, but even the release of a million barrels a day would only cover about a third of the 3 million barrels a day that we use here in the U.S. Industry experts warn that gas prices could still hit new highs this spring and summer. Biden also announced plans to ramp up domestic production of minerals needed to manufacture batteries for electric cars and for long-term energy storage. The hope is that by doing so, the U.S. can lessen its dependence on fossil fuels and be less vulnerable to wild swings in oil prices during international conflicts. So, Jared Kushner appeared virtually on Thursday before the House Select Committee investigating January 6th. Kushner, who served as one of Trump's senior White House advisors, is the former guy's son-in-law and the first known close Trump relative to speak with the panel. Committee member Congresswoman Elaine Loria of Virginia said the interview was, quote, really valuable to the committee, but she couldn't divulge any details. There are reports that Ivanka Trump has also been engaging with the committee over her own potential testimony. So funding for COVID relief has run out. Well, now there's reportedly an agreement in principle between some Republicans and some Democrats on a $10 billion package to provide further pandemic relief. Now, $10 billion is about half of what the White House was seeking. Some Democrats say the deal is a little farther along than Mitt Romney has suggested, but at least there's a bipartisan group working on this issue. There's another bipartisan group of senators trying to extend pandemic school meal waivers that gave federal funds and flexibilities to provide free food to more kids and to cope with supply chain and labor issues. The $10 billion would go toward vaccines, antiviral treatments, and other supplies for Americans, while largely scrapping plans to help vaccinate millions of people around the world. Unreal. Both Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said they're optimistic it'll pass. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.